Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Everybody, welcome to Wednesday's Words of Wisdom. We take a word in the Bible and we sort of expound on it and find several scriptures, kind of give you an overall view of what it is, of what he's talking about, what God meant when he used that word, because every word's important. Every word means something. So the word today is a Bible word that we use a lot called mercy. Mercy, son of David, have mercy. And the blind Bartimaeus is hollering at Jesus, mercy. And the Bible says God's mercy is new every morning. God is a merciful God and a kind God. So Exodus chapter 1, verse 13. So the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. What? They didn't show any mercy. They were hard, and they were rugged, and they were mean. Worked them without mercy. Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. Who did God tell Moses he was? I am the God of compassion and mercy. I am the God of compassion. I know your people are suffering. You've been slaves for 400 years. I know. I know exactly what they did, why they did it, how they did it, and what's happening to them because they did it. But I am a God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Psalm 4, verse 1. Psalm 4, verse, most of these scriptures are about the New Living Translation, by the way. It's my favorite translation. I still study the King James. I just don't speak King James. This is the New Living Translation. Psalm 4, 1, answer me when I call to you, O God, who declares me innocent. Free me from my troubles. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Psalm 28, verse 6. Psalm 28, verse 6. Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. How do you get mercy? You ask for it. Like blind Bartimaeus, mercy. God, I need mercy. Did you earn it? No. Do you deserve it? No, but God will give it. You can run boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Where? Run boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and help in time of need. Do you deserve it? No. Have you earned it? No. Will God give it? Yes. God is a merciful God. Oh, my goodness, that's so good. Psalm 51, verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. You know, he'd sinned with Bathsheba. That's what he's talking about. He's reaping a whirlwind right now. To blot out my sins. Did you sin? Yes. On purpose? Yes. Did you know you're doing it when you did it? Yes. Will God forgive you? Yes. Yes. God's a forgiving God. Oh, my goodness. Psalm 69, verse 16. Psalm 69, verse 16. Answer my prayers, O Lord. Your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me. For your merciful is so plentiful. Your mercy is so plentiful. God's a merciful God. Oh, my goodness. Psalm 116, verse 1. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. When's he going to give it? When you ask for it. How much? All that you need. God is a kind, merciful God. Proverbs 6:34. Proverbs 6:34. For the woman's jealous husband will be furious. He will show no mercy when he takes revenge. What he's talking about, having an affair with somebody that's not your spouse. You want to stir up hell on earth? Try having an affair with somebody that's not your spouse. God said the spouse will have to take revenge and have no mercy. Humans are not merciful. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, 13. People who conceal their sins will not prosper, but they confess them. If they confess them and turn from them, they will receive mercy. When? When you repent of your sin. When you get mercy? When you repent of your sin. When you get mercy? When you repent of your sin. God is so good. Daniel chapter 9, verse 18. Daniel 9, 18. Oh, my God, lean down and listen to me. Open your eyes. See my despair. Say your city, the city that bears your name, lies in ruins. We make this plea, not because we deserve help, because of your mercy. Daniel's praying for Jerusalem. It's been overrun, burned down, walls are collapsed. He's praying for the city. Why? We don't deserve help, but we know you're merciful. You will help us because you're merciful. We know you'll hear us because you're merciful. Oh, man, it's so powerful. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what it is he requires for you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. What's God asking? Three things. Do what's right, love mercy, walk humbly. Do what's right, love mercy. Mercy, be merciful to other people. Don't be quick to judge other people. Be merciful. Be merciful. Oh, man. Matthew 5:7. God blesses those who are merciful. Why? Because God's going to bless you. God blesses those who are merciful. They will be shown mercy. How do you get it? You give it away. How do you get it? You give it away. You're merciful to other people, God will be merciful to you. Oh, that's so good. Matthew 9, verse 27. After Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And they went right into the house where Jesus was staying, and Jesus asked them, "Do you believe I can make you see?" "Yes, Lord," they told him, "we do." Then Jesus touched their eyes and said, "Because of your faith, it will happen." What is God merciful? Did they earn it? No, but God gave it. Why? Because the Son of God's a merciful God. Woo! Luke 1, verse 50. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. Now, I pray this every day. I pray it this morning. I pray it tonight when I go to bed. Father, teach my family now to fear you. For the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. With that wisdom was long life, riches, and honor. What says right here? You receive mercy. God is a merciful God. James 2, verse 13. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful to you when he judges you. Whoa. Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There will we receive his mercy. We'll find grace to help when we need it the most. We get mercy from God. He's merciful. Then the last scripture, 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectations. Why? I'm a born-again Christian. I'm going to heaven. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's so many angels around me, you can't count them. Why? God's a merciful God. He saved me when I didn't deserve it. He loves me when I didn't deserve it. God is a merciful God. Mercy is a great word, guys. I'll take some time and look up some scriptures and write them down on a 3x5 card. Thanks for listening today, God. Tune in next time, guys, when we go on to another word. God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God could do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed. Jesus. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Wednesday's Words of Wisdom, where we take a word out of the Bible and we expound on it a little bit, find several scriptures about it, kind of give you an overview of what God was talking about when he said it. Today, we're using the word minister. Now, that could be a person, a minister, or it could be something you do. You minister to somebody. So it's got both things in with the scriptures we're going to use today, and you're going to like this a lot. So the word minister. We're going to start with Exodus 28, verse 1. Most all these scriptures I'm giving you will be from the New Living Translation. I'll let you know if it's something else. Now, we usually use the New King James sometimes, but these are the New Living Translation. Exodus 28, verse 1. Exodus 28, verse 1. Call for your brother Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. Set them apart from the rest of the people of Israel so they may minister to me and be my priests. God, what do you want? I want some guys to minister to me. Be my priest. Do what? Offer the sacrifices? Because God loves praise. The Bible says God inhabits praise. He goes where he gets thanked. God shows up where he gets thanked, not where he gets cursed and cussed. God goes where he gets thanked. There's a set apart of these guys as priests so they may minister to me. Well, I like to be praised. I like to be thanked. Numbers chapter 3, verse 3. These sons of Aaron were anointed and ordained to minister as priests. We're doing what we're setting them apart. We're going to lay hands on them and anoint them to be priests of God, to minister to the Lord on our behalf. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark, the Lord's covenant, and to stand before the Lord as his ministers and to pronounce blessings in his name. These are their duties to this day. What are they going to do as ministers? Pronounce blessings. Minister to God, pronounce blessings. What's your job? Well, I'm to pronounce a blessing over the people. That's my job. I get paid to do that. Pronounce blessings. It's important. It's so important. God has a job. What's your job? Well, God hired me to pronounce blessings. Oh, that's so good. Deuteronomy 18:5. For the Lord your God chose the tribe of Levi out of all the tribes to minister in the Lord's name forever. Do what? I'm going to minister in the Lord's name forever. Deuteronomy 21, verse 5. Deuteronomy 21, verse 5. Then the Levitical priests must step forward, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister before him and to pronounce blessings in the Lord's name. They decide all legal and criminal cases. So not only are they ministers, but they'll decide the legal and criminal cases. They're to be judges. I mean, this is incredible anointing. When you talk about ministers, it's like God said, we need people to do what's right. That's your professional job, to do what's right, to handle all the legal cases. 2 Chronicles 29:11. 2 Chronicles 29:11. My sons, do not neglect the duties any longer. The Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence to minister to him and to lead the people in worship and present offerings to him. What's your job? I'm a worship leader. What do you do as a worship leader? Well, I also minister to God. God likes to be sung to. He likes people to worship him. Enter the Lord in his presence with thanksgiving, with singing. Come before him with singing and praise and worship. God likes it when he gets thanked. He shows up when he gets thanked. I've had people I've ministered with, I hadn't heard from God in a long time. Well, you've not thanked him lately. God goes where he's appreciated. God goes where he gets thanked. God goes where he gets praised. It's in the Bible. It's a good book. You might want to read it. It's some great stuff in there. Jeremiah 33:22. As the stars of the sky cannot be counted, and the sand of the seashore cannot be measured, so I will multiply the descendants of my servant David and the Levites who minister before me. Because I got my own bunch of people, and I'm going to multiply them because I like being ministered to. God likes being ministered to. He lets you know what he likes. Man. Ezekiel 44:15. However, the Levitical priest of the family of Zadok continued to minister faithfully in the temple when Israel abandoned me for other idols. These men will serve as my ministers. And they will stand in my presence and offer the fat and the blood of the sacrifices, says the sovereign Lord. He said, some people left me. God said, this bunch didn't. God's looking all the time, those that serve him and don't serve him. It's good to serve God. It's not a burden. It's a very good thing. It's a blessing to serve God. Ezekiel 45:4. This area will be holy, set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes. My temple will be located within it. God said, I got my own subdivision for my ministers. They got their own private subdivision. What's this? Well, it's for my ministers, their own private subdivision. Oh, man, that's good. Daniel 7:9. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the ancient one sat down to judge. His clothing was white as snow, his hair like purest wool. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels ministered to him. Millions of angels ministered to who? The Lord Jesus. Millions of angels ministered to him, and many millions stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were open. That's one powerful scripture. God inhabits praise. God likes praise. Humans like praise. You go where you get thanked. Got some people, they're mad at everybody and judgmental of everybody and griping about everything, complaining about everything. Not much good's going to happen to them, guys. Not a good way to live. Acts 19:8. Paul's ministering in Ephesus. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly. He's ministering. What's he doing? I'm a minister. I'm going to preach boldly for the next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. What's he doing? He's having to argue about the kingdom of God because they believed other things. They believed lies. They believed demons. They believed ignorant, stupid stuff. And Paul's trying to teach them the truth. And he's having to argue because not everybody receives it real well. So he's arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Man, that's a great passage. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us as ministers to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. What are you doing now? I'm a minister of the gospel, spreading some sweet news. Smells real good like sweet perfume. 2 Corinthians 6:4. In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. Why do you do that? Because we're true ministers of God. We're serving him. People need us. They don't know they need us. People need us. They don't know they need us. They need us. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 2. Hebrews 8, 2. There he, Jesus, ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, a true place of worship that was built by the Lord, not by human hands. There's a tabernacle in heaven. Who's the head minister there? Jesus. He's leading it. That's who we serve. So minister, it's a great word. Give us some thought today, guys. God bless. Thanks for listening.
Joe, was that the second through the Bible, or is that the third?
That's the third one. We got two more.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm going to change my shirts. Yeah, give me a kiss. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome to Wednesday's Words of Wisdom, where we take a word in the Bible and we sort of expound on it. Find several scriptures about it, sort of give you an overview of what God's talking about. Today, we're using the word mortal, M-O-R-T-A-L, mortal. What does that mean? Well, you're not immortal, you're mortal. That gives some deep thought. So you're going to like these today. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Now, we're mostly reading out of the New Living Translation. If I read something different, I'll let you know. Most all these scriptures come from my favorite translation, the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In their future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. So what's an average age? Well, it's supposed to be 120 years. Shouldn't be dying at 65 or 70. God said, I'm going to give you 120 years, but you got to use your faith for whatever God promised. Whatever God gives us, we have to use faith to appropriate it because the devil's resisting us. So, say, how long are you going to live? Well, Bible promises 120. I'd like to go to 120. Well, nobody does that. Well, somebody does. There are some people on this planet that live to be past 120, that live to be in the 108 and 112. There's people in our country that live to be that long. Somebody was on the news the other day. She's celebrating her 112th birthday. She looked really good for 112. So you got to get your faith there. What are you going to do? I want to live a long time. I'm going to live a long time. So, mortal. First Chronicles 29:1. Then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, "My son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and he's inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous, for the temple he will build is not for mere mortals. It is for the Lord God himself." Not mere mortals. This is something he's building for God. Job chapter 9, verse 32. Job 9:32. "God is not mortal like me," Job said. "I'm mortal. I'm going to live and I'm going to die. God's not going to die. God's not mortal like me. So I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. He's not human. You can't take God to trial." Job 15:14. "Can any mortal be pure? Can anyone born of a woman be just?" No, people cheat, lie, and steal. That's how the Bible says the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. Every day we get to repent and we get to forgive. It's part of the process. Every day you get to, there are no perfect people. They don't exist. Everybody's messed up to some degree every day. Every day you learn to repent and forgive and fall down and scoop dirt with your lower lip and get back up. Psalm 8 and verse 4. What are mere mortals that you should think about them, God? Human beings that you should care for them. And David's asking the question. Of course, he got the answer, but it's really good. Psalm 9, verse 19. Arise, O Lord, do not let mere mortals defy you. Judge the nations. Judge the nations. Lord, don't let this go on. Somebody has to pray and intercede. You know, one scripture, God said he searched the earth trying to find somebody to show himself strong, and he couldn't find anybody. God's always looking for somebody to work through. Psalm 56, verse 4. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I'm going to live forever. What can mere mortals do to me? Psalm 78, verse 39. He remembered they were merely mortal, gone like breath and wind that never returns. Whoa. Psalm 82, verse 7. But you will die like mere mortals and fall like every other ruler. He's talking about some of the wicked kings of the earth. Look, guys, you're mortal. You're not going to live forever. Psalm 90, verse 3. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. That's why we need God. I need God to live forever. Psalm 144, verse 3. Oh, Lord, what are human beings that you should notice them? Mere mortals that you should think about them. Ezekiel 30, verse 24, New Living Translation. I will strengthen the arms of Babylon's king. I'll put my sword in his hand. I will break the arms of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He will lie there mortally wounded, growing in pain. They made so many movies about this, but God said it ahead of time. Pharaoh, the king that enslaved all my people, he will lie there mortally wounded, nor dead, groaning in pain. Hosea 11:6. No, I will not unleash my fierce anger. I will not completely destroy Israel. For I am a God, not a mere mortal. I am the Holy One living among you, and I will not come to destroy. Whoa, that's a great scripture. Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you. Once you get born again, I'm going to live forever. This body's going back to dust, but I'm going to get a new body. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live in heaven. Woo! 1 Corinthians 15:53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. God's going to give us an immortal body that will never die. God promised it right there, 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1:10. And he did rescue us from mortal danger. He will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him. He will continue to rescue us. Who? God. That's some great scripture on mortal. Well, everybody dies. We've got graveyards all over creation. Every town you go through has got a big graveyard, headstones. But if you're born again Christian, you're not in that grave. You're in heaven. Now, one day you're going to come back and get you a new body. The Bible says when Jesus comes back and you come back, the dead will be raised. What is it? Well, they come back and get my new body. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to live forever. That's a whole other set of scriptures. Anyhow, thanks for listening today. Tune in next time as we go through Wednesday's Words of Wisdom. God bless. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday's Words of Wisdom with Joe McGee. We're going to taking a word and just expounding on it. So I used to do this as a school administrator. Pick a word out and let kids know God says something about everything. All the words mean something. So don't use them. Make sure you use them in the right way. It's the best way to say it. The word we're going to use today is the word mouth. M-O-U-T-H, mouth. Your mouth can bring you a blessing. Your mouth can bring you a cursing. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. So watch what you say. The word mouth. So let's start off. Job 37, verse 2. Most all these translations are from the New Living Translation. Job 37, 2. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from his mouth. What's that? Well, God's voice. What's it sound like? Thunder. That's what it says. Psalm 10, verse 7. Their mouths are full of cursing, lies, and threats. Trouble and evil arise on the tips of their tongues. Well, there's a group of people that never say anything good, don't have anything good to say about anybody. God really says, stay away from people like that. Psalm 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation, God said, listen, watch what you say and watch what you think. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, honest, just, and praiseworthy. Think on these things. Don't think about other things that don't do anything for you. Oh, that's so good. Psalm 50, verse 19. Your mouth is filled with wickedness, and your tongue is full of lies. Well, that won't end good. Psalm 51, verse 15. Psalm 51, 15. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. Whoa. Psalm 81:10. Psalm 81:10. Was I the Lord your God who rescued you from the land of Egypt? Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. I'm the one that's blessed you. I'm the one that saved you. I'm the one that got you out of there. So open your mouth wide, and I'm going to fill it with good things. Oh, that's good. Psalm 137, verse 6. Psalm 137, verse 6. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember you. If I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Guys, listen, if I don't continue to thank you and praise you and let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth, that's another translation. That's what he's saying. Psalm 144, verse 11. Psalm 144, 11. Save me. Rescue me from the power of my enemies. Their mouths are full of lies. They swear to tell the truth, but they lie instead. You got anybody in your life like that? Well, there's a prayer for them. Psalm 149, verse 6. Psalm 149, verse 6. Let the praises of God be in their mouths and a sharp sword in their hands. I'm ready spiritually and I'm ready naturally. Proverbs 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. It comes from God's mouth, knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 10, 19. Proverbs 10, 19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible. Keep your mouth shut. And I've said this to my kids when they were younger. There's times just keep your mouth shut. Nobody needs to know what you're thinking. Well, I'll tell you what I think. We don't want to know. Keep it to yourself. Unless you're going to share a scripture, keep that to yourself. Proverbs 10:31. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue of the deceived will be cut off. Well, that's not good. Proverbs 10:32, the lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. Who's a wicked person? People that talk perverse all the time, running other people down, cussing, griping, complaining. Proverbs 13, verse 3, Proverbs 13, 3, those who control their tongue will live a long life. Open your mouth can run everything. That'll be a bumper sticker. Open your mouth can run everything. Whoa, just keep it to yourself. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouth shut, they seem intelligent. We all know people like that. Proverbs 18:7, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Proverbs 21:23. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and then you'll stay out of trouble. Watch your mouth, keep your mouth shut, and you'll stay out of trouble. That is so good. Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let somebody else praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Matthew 4, verse 4. But Jesus told him, no, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We never live by God's word. So I think it'd be good to know some of it. And the last scripture, Matthew 15, verse 11. Matthew 15, 11. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. You're defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. So let your yes be yes and your no be no, for all else proceed from evil, one, the Bible says. Let's learn to talk right. How do you do that? Read your proverb every day. If you'll just read one proverb a day, it'll change the way you think, and it will change the way you talk, because you have some fresh thoughts from God's word, and you'll start blessing people instead of cursing people. You'll be blessing the life you're living, not cursing the life you're living. So meditate in the word of God day and night, then you'll prosper and have good success, Joshua 1:8. Meditate in the word day and night. How do you do that? Well, read a proverb every day. It's not that big a deal. It won't take you a minute. Just read a proverb. Find you a short one. Just find you some verses. I used to take verses, write them on 3x5 cards for my kids. You don't need to memorize the whole Bible. Just memorize one verse for a week. Give you 7 days to memorize one verse. One verse can save your life, make your life go real good. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Tune in next time.
All righty. That was the last one, right?
Yep, that was the last one. Got 5 and 5.
Perfect. All right, I got everything I need here.
Thank you, Joshua. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. All right, I'll see you later.
All right, have a blessed day, buddy.
You too. Bye.